Ian's proper croque monsieur.
The odd thing about me and my dad's love of a croque monsieur is that we've only been to France together once. It was back in 93 and it was the last thing we ate before getting back on the ferry. So every time he comes over now, I make one. Nice thick cut white bread, a couple of slices of cured ham or turkey, and of course, Gruyere cheese. I think that's how you say it.
Enjoy your own croque monsieur, smothered with our finest Gruyere. Food love stories, brought to you by Tesco.
Friday, February 2nd, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports, hopefully with a dose of common sense. Hopefully we can make you smile once or twice while you were here, and we are very, very happy to have you with us today. Happy Friday to you. We made it through another week. We hope that we are helping you get through your work week at least a little bit. Of course, it is Super Bowl weekend. It is Super Bowl weekend. Get ready for your parties. Get ready to eat a ton of food. Get ready to watch the big game. You know, Super Bowl Sunday. Here in the United States, it has turned into kind of like Thanksgiving, hasn't it? I mean, the biggest difference is that, as bizarre as this might sound, less people care about football on Super Bowl Sunday than I think they do on Thanksgiving. Like on Thanksgiving, we have it on, we all kind of watch it. On Super Bowl Sunday, not sure who you are watching the game with, but it is a little weird that a lot of the people that come to the Super Bowl parties on Super Bowl Sunday, they run to the TV for like the anthem and for like the commercials, and then halftime they run in. But for the actual game, I'm going to go get a drink. I'm going to go grab some more chips. I'm going to go get something else to eat. Like, they actually leave during the game itself. They don't really watch it. A little bit different. Like, you would think biggest football game of the year, you might actually be tuned into the game. Yeah, not so much. You know, I actually can't hang with most Super Bowl crowds. You know, if you're actually into the game, do yourself a favor. Watch it at home alone if you really want to see the game. Because you go to the big Super Bowl parties, that's not how that's going to go. It's a little bit odd. Or, I mean, get heavily intoxicated. Either way, I guess that is how you deal with the Super Bowl party, at least here in the good old US of A. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email at dailydosesports@gmail.com. Or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. We do have a lot to get today. We do have a little bit of breaking news, and we have to look forward to the weekend in sports, including our pick for Super Bowl 52. You know, I've mentioned this before, and I know I'm just going to jinx myself, and we'll see how that goes, but we haven't missed a pick for the Super Bowl yet while here at the Daily Dose. We have knocked out 4 Super Bowls in a row, have picked it right every time. We'll see if we can keep that streak alive for pick number 5. And of course, as we do every single Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, and you just know it's going to be a little bit Super Bowl flavored. It is a busy Friday here at the Daily Dose. Now, some of the things coming out in breaking news, as usual, not always news, but there was a story that came out that if the Golden State Warriors could create a max salary slot this offseason, the defending NBA champions could possibly get a meeting with LeBron James. Maybe they would bring LeBron James to join Golden State. Now, there's no indication that Golden State is actually looking at doing this. And out of respect for the Warriors, LeBron James said he would only listen if Golden State explored ways to clear the necessary cap space, which would include like getting rid of Klay Thompson, getting rid of Andre Iguodala, restructuring Kevin Durant, all this kind of stuff. I realize that that was a big story, but I don't know if any of this is really news. I know it's going to get run, but I mean, think about this for 1 second. LeBron James could join the Golden State Warriors. Wow. Yeah, that's a super team, all right. Of course, in order to do it, Golden State would have to totally revamp their entire roster to make room for it. Now, if you're Golden State, why would you want to do that? You can already win it without him. Like, do you really need to go get him? What's in it for them? And it's also interesting from the perspective of LeBron James. Because think of LeBron. LeBron is so conscious of his legacy. This is not a guy that says, hey, I just play the game and I just let the chips fall where they may. This is a guy that has most likely stayed up until like 3 or 4 in the morning, like trying to figure out, if I go back to Cleveland, what does everyone say about me? If I actually went to Golden State, what would they say about me? And if LeBron did go to Golden State, what would everyone say? I mean, they would say exactly what we're all thinking. Hey, Jordan didn't lose to the Pistons, so he just went and joined them. Larry didn't go play for the Lakers. I think this is more both sides saying, well, yeah, I mean, I guess if everything fell right, we'd take him and he'd come here, and he's saying the same thing. I think this is more LeBron saying, well, of course I would consider Golden State if everything fell right, but it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen on either side. If LeBron James wants to help his legacy, it's simple. Beat the Warriors. Don't join the Warriors. Not sure if you saw this, but the Fox Broadcast Network has agreed to a 5-year deal. After agreeing to pay an average of $660 million a year for the rights to NFL Thursday Night Football. You know, both CBS and NBC did bid for the rights, but Fox outbid them and they got the deal. Now, can we just change Thursday Night Football to make more sense? We all know that the product on Thursday night is not great. The players don't get enough rest after their Sunday game, and they don't get enough preparation time prior to the Thursday game. And once again, it just makes for poorly played, ugly games. Just schedule teams to play the Thursday night after their bye week. Then they get a week and a half to prep and almost a week and a half off afterward. It seems like common sense, but we know that common sense isn't that common, right? We kind of realize that. I wish they would fix it, because right now I think it's just oversaturation, which is one thing. To have an oversaturated product is one thing. To have an oversaturated bad product, that changes things a lot. Hey, 28 Russian athletes have had their Olympic doping bans overturned, but the International Olympic Committee said that they could still be blocked from competing at this month's Winter Games. A Court of Arbitration for Sport ruling has overturned the International Olympic Committee blocking them from the Olympics. Now, we'll still have to see if they can actually get a spot in the Olympics. That's not a done deal yet, but the doping ban has at least been overturned. And I think that this is a good way to finish off our breaking news here at the Daily Dose for the week. Like, I think this is fitting that the Court of Arbitration has overruled their ruling, because they obviously ruled that way because they found something. But I think this is a good lesson for the kids. Here is the lesson for all the kids out there. If you're just listening to the Daily Dose, or maybe your parents are listening, they can relay the message to you, whatever it might be. Remember, kids, cheaters never prosper. Unless you have like a crazy president that strong arms the Court of Arbitration, who, by the way, did not really give much in the way of reasons for overturning the bans. They basically just said, yeah, hey, we're overturning them. And then cheating totally, totally prospers, because I think we all know that these Russian athletes have had more junk in their bodies than a Kardashian at one of those secret society bird mask parties. Yeah, I said it. It needed to be said, and I said it. What are we teaching? Why is there so much cheating for Olympic Games? I don't understand it. I mean, I realize it's political, and it's just so filthy. The Patriots cheat less than this. Okay, we got a lot of things to get to. Coming back, we will be looking at the coming weekend in sports and letting you know what events just might be worth your time to find your way to watch. Plus, of course, we will have our Super Bowl 52 preview. You got to make sure that you stick around for that.
Frankie's late night breakfast.
I've been going out with Sam for a while now. We met last year. We went out dancing, came home late. I don't know why we hit it off, but I'll tell you when I knew we had. The first time we shared a bowl of baked eggs. Tangy tomato sauce with spinach and chili. You wait till it's simmering, then bake in the eggs. Delicious. We tucked in at 3 a.m. and he said, "This is the best breakfast I've ever had."
Make your own late night breakfast with our sweet Italian vine ripened tomatoes. Food Love Stories, brought to you by Tesco.
Okay, so you know we do this every single week. We take a look at some of the upcoming events coming this weekend. You've got a lot to do. We keep you up on the best things to tune in for. And now, not only are we previewing the games, we are also picking the games and seeing how we do with our picks week by week. Okay, let's see. Last week on the Dose, I made 9 picks on our Friday show, and I went 6-3. Boom. Enjoy your free money, folks. Hey, if you want to go out and make some money, listen to the Daily Dose. You go bet. Maybe you win some money. If you don't win any money, then I don't want to hear about it. You didn't get those picks from me. Remember, gamble at your own risk. We have won more than we have lost here on the Dose, but I'm telling you, this is why I don't gamble on sports. You gamble at your own risk. It's not easy to do, but we do it for you because we are in the business of helping people. So get ready to make some more serious money. And if you do, Just remember, we sent you. And if you don't, forget it was me. By the way, just throwing this out there, little gambling advice to anyone who might be thinking of dropping some money on these games. If you are gambling on the Super Bowl, forget the parlays. Don't do the parlays. Just pick a winner. More times than not in the Super Bowl, winners usually cover in this game. So forget the cover. Forget all that. Just pick a winner and the winner will cover. But forget the parlay. Stay away from those goofy parlays. Those are not worth anything. Those are absolute sucker bets. Those are for the people coming in for the weekend on Vegas and they have no idea what they're doing. I wonder if the national anthem will go longer than 2 minutes. I'll put $200 on it. Those are moron bets. Don't do the sucker bets. Pick your winner. Your winner will probably cover. That's the only way to try to make any money on the Super Bowl. Again, little free advice from me to you. Okay, let's look at the weekend in sports. Pretty quiet on Friday night. Take it easy, relax, and be careful not to drink too much because remember, your liver needs to rest up just a little bit before Sunday. But I do have a couple games that you might want to keep on Friday. Friday night, 5 p.m. Now remember, all times, Mountain Zone times. I'm here in Denver. I'm not going to translate that for you, but, you know, get the little thing on Google or whatever, and you can figure out what time they start in your area. Friday at 5 p.m., we have a sneaky good game in the Atlantic 10. Rhode Island is in first place. Very, very good defensive team. They go to second place, Virginia Commonwealth. Should be a great atmosphere down at VCU. We know that VCU also plays pretty good defense. This should be a great defensive battle. If you want to see some good college basketball, Friday night, 5 p.m., I will pick Rhode Island in this game, but a pretty good Atlantic 10 game to start off the weekend. At 6 p.m., we have an NBA game that might be worth your time. The Miami Heat are now just a game and a half behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. And with Kevin Love now out for a while with that broken bone in his hand, Miami could make a move to pass Cleveland. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia 76ers are holding on for a playoff spot. They are sitting at 8th in the East. Not a horrible game between two teams that are battling for position, trying to make the playoffs. And one thing that you always have to keep in mind, Miami Heat coach Eric Spoelstra, he is one of the best X's and O's coaches in the NBA. If you just want to watch a team run good sets, watch Miami. Miami at Philadelphia, 6 p.m. I will pick Miami in that game. Okay, it is the day before the big game. We move on to Saturday. And to be honest, there's not a ton of great matchups. But we do have a couple that are worth seeing. Starting at 2 p.m., we've got a college hoops game that might be a little under the national radar. Yeah, I know. That's sonar. It's not radar. Whatever. We have an American East battle between the first place Vermont Catamounts and the second place Maryland Baltimore County Retrievers. Yes, that's right. Vermont has won 11 games in a row and are undefeated in conference. They actually beat UMBC earlier this season at home, but the Retrievers would love to get some payback at their place. These two are battling for the lead. These two are battling, hoping to make the big dance. I will take Vermont on the road. Should be an interesting game, again, that might be a little bit under the radar. At 4:15 p.m., we have number 12 Oklahoma going to Texas. If you haven't seen Oklahoma star Trae Young, might be a good chance. He does have a little Steph Curry to his game. I know that's getting thrown out there. He's got the quick trigger. He's got the ball handling. I actually think his ball handling gives him at least a shot to compete at the next level. He's not a real big guy, but he's taller than you think he is. He's kind of a slender guy. He's kind of built like Steph Curry. Probably needs to cut his hair. Just going to throw that out there. Again, free advice. Side note. I mean, we can all see that you're on your way to having a really, really bad comb over. Just cut it, bro. Like, we all know what's going on. Just cut it. Texas still trying to figure things out under head coach Shaka Smart, but this should be an entertaining game, especially at Texas. Might want to tune in for Oklahoma versus Texas. I will take OU on the road. At 6:30, we've got an NBA game that, again, I'm not sure how this is going to go. This might not be worth watching. This could be very, very interesting because the Cleveland Cavaliers have lost Kevin Love for a while, and I know that a number of people think he is actually to blame for the Cavs' struggles. Well, we're going to find out in the next few weeks, aren't we? Because he's not going to be playing. And the Cavs are still going to have to find a way to find another 18 points and like 9 or 10 rebounds a game that Love was giving them. Meanwhile, the Houston Rockets are coming to town. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they look like a contender in the West. Cleveland had better show up, or Houston is going to do to them what Oklahoma City did to them a few weeks ago. Remember that when they scored like 150? I will take Houston on the road. I want to see what Cleveland has at home, though. Okay, Sunday. It is Super Bowl Sunday. It is the big game. It is the big event. And I've got some other things for you to watch as well. Starting at 9:30 a.m., we've got some Premier League. Liverpool goes to Tottenham to face the Tottenham Hotspurs. Liverpool is in third place. Tottenham is sitting in fifth. So enjoy some football before the real football. It's a bad accent, I know. I don't know which football is which. Either way, I'm going to pick Tottenham because no one circles the wagons like the Spurs. Okay, Premier League, 9:30, Liverpool versus Tottenham. That was the bottom line. I don't have any idea. They're in third place. They're in fifth place. Whatever. Watch it or don't. 10 a.m. We've got an NBA matchup that's actually pretty good. We have Portland, who is now 29-22, playing pretty well. They are sitting at sixth in the Western Conference, and they go to Boston, who is the top team in the East, but they have cooled off a little bit lately. Should be a close game. And if you don't get a chance to see Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum that much, here is your chance. Portland at Boston, 10 a.m. on Sunday. I will take Boston. You know, I've been giving you kind of a must-see college basketball game, it seems like, every week. And I would say this is the one for this week. 10 a.m. Sunday morning, Seton Hall goes to number one Villanova. Now, I wish this game was in New Jersey instead of Philly, because Seton Hall can battle a little bit with Nova. If you haven't seen Desi Rodriguez play, he's a tough, tough kid. You want to make sure you check him out. The Pirates are going to battle. I don't know if they can beat Nova, but they will battle. Nova, they are the top team in the country. They don't want to slip up at home. I will pick Villanova at home, but this should be a close game. Seton Hall going to Villanova Sunday morning. Hey, if you've got a young female in your household, maybe she's a basketball player, maybe she likes basketball, maybe she likes sports, take a look at this game. 11 a.m., we've got number 5 Notre Dame going to number 19 Duke. Hey, the ladies in your house don't want to watch the men's game all the time. Show them some women's college hoops. Notre Dame, ranked number 5, they're scoring 85 points a game. And they go to Duke to see the number 19 team in the country. They're not quite as explosive as Notre Dame is offensively, but they do play some defense. Should be a very, very good game. I will take Notre Dame on the road. Okay, the event of the weekend, right here, starting at 1 p.m. Not that event. On Animal Planet, yes, we have Puppy Bowl 13. If you're not familiar with the Puppy Bowl, it is an annual television program. It mimics an American football bowl game similar to the Super Bowl, but it uses puppies and they have announcers broadcasting the plays like it is the Super Bowl. I guess the first Puppy Bowl was shown in 2005, opposite the Super Bowl. Now they show it a little bit ahead of time and they actually feature dogs that are from shelters. Maybe they get them adopted or something. I don't know. But Puppy Bowl, 1 p.m. Check it out. Okay. Now on to the big game. At 4:30 p.m., we have Super Bowl 52. You know, the more I look at this game, the more I don't know who's going to win it. I really don't. The Philadelphia Eagles have a better team. The New England Patriots are better at key spots, and they have the experience. This is strength versus strength. You've got the Patriots offense versus the Philadelphia defense. Strength versus strength. You've got weakness versus weakness. The Eagles offense versus the Patriots defense. Can the Eagles put together a solid 60 minutes? We're going to see. And right now, we are going to give you our Super Bowl preview the way that we do. Who has the best running game between these two teams? The Eagles have used LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi to average about 130 yards per game. The Patriots, meanwhile, they use Deion Lewis, they use James White, and really whoever else they can just plug in there. And it's not a great lineup, but they manage 118 yards per game. This is going to be huge. Who can control the ball by running it? I think Philly needs to dominate here, but it looks like it's pretty close. Eagles are going to take an early 3-0 lead. Okay, so who's got the best passing game? Come on. I mean, it's Tom Brady versus Nick Foles. And by the way, Rob Gronkowski has been cleared to play. Big shocker. Late in the game, whoever has that passing game could be a huge factor. I'm going to give the Patriots 10 points for this. Patriots take a 10-3 lead. Who has the best running defense? The Eagles have the best defense in the league. They allow just 79 yards per game and only 3.3 yards per attempt. The Patriots, meanwhile, they allow 115 yards per game. I'm telling you, the running game, this is where the Eagles have to dominate on both sides of the ball. Eagles get a touchdown and the score is now tied at 10. Who has the best passing defense? This is also advantage Eagles, but again, they face a very, very potent offense. And here's one thing to consider. We all know the refs are going to throw flags in favor of the Patriots. So the Patriots now take a 13-10 lead. Who has the best special teams in this game? I actually think this is a narrow victory for the Patriots. Steven Gostkowski is an excellent kicker. Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola, very, very good on returns. Patriots take a 16-10 lead. Who has the best coach? I think that Doug Peterson has done an amazing job this year, absorbing the loss of your starting quarterback and still making it to the Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? But Bill Belichick is at least in the conversation for greatest coach of all time. Plus, he cheats. Advantage Patriots. It's 23-10, and the Patriot fans are lighting up a cigar. This game might be over. But as usual, this game's going to come down to the intangibles. Okay, quickly. Best food. Who's got the best food? New England. They've got clam chowder. Philadelphia has Philly cheesesteaks, or as they're called there, cheesesteaks. Cheesesteaks or soup, please. The Eagles get a touchdown, and they're back in it. Patriots up 23-17. Here's a question for you. Who is the entire planet cheering for? This isn't even close. Like, Massachusetts and Connecticut are cheering for the Patriots. That's it. Aside from a few bandwagon fans here or there, the rest of the entire planet is cheering for the Eagles. There has to be some energy from that. The Eagles take the lead 24-23. Can they pull off the upset? They just might do it. Okay, it all comes down to one thing, like it usually does. Who has the most obnoxious fan base? This is a lock. The Eagles are going to pull the upset. Hey, we know that every fan base has its idiots, but I mean, Philadelphia fans are nuts. They booed Santa Claus. They cheered when Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Michael Irvin was unconscious on the field. The Eagles are going to get it done in Super Bowl 52. Wait a second. Patriots fans have gone to an entirely new level in obnoxiousness in the last few years. With all of that success, I mean, from Bill Simmons to the Boston media to just the average moron that used to not even follow football and now he's wearing a different Tom Brady jersey to your work every day of the week, Boston fans are way worse than Philly fans. Please, please let me be wrong. But I've got the New England Patriots pulling off the 26-24 win. Ugh. Coming back, we will get to our Daily Dose Top 5. While I am picking Tom Brady and the New England Patriots to win this thing, I am still not 100% sold. And one of the reasons that I'm not is because when they have had good teams around them, we have seen lesser quarterbacks beat better quarterbacks. Our Daily Dose Top 5 is next.
Frankie's Late Night Breakfast.
I've been going out with Sam for a while now. We met last year. We went out dancing, came home late. I don't know why we hit it off, but I'll tell you when I knew we had. The first time we shared a bowl of baked eggs. Tangy tomato sauce with spinach and chili. You wait till it's simmering, then bake in the eggs. Delicious. We tucked in at 3 a.m. and he said, "This is the best breakfast I've ever had."
Make your own late night breakfast with our sweet Italian vine-ripened tomatoes. Food Love Stories, brought to you by Tesco.
Hey, just a quick reminder, you know you've got to get something for Valentine's Day for that special someone. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose to find what you need over there. They've got the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. February's Loot Crate theme, it's called Protect, and it features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We're going to get you 10% off of your order, and any money you can save on a holiday like Valentine's Day is a good thing. Hey, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Okay, so we know that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of time, and no one should even challenge him. He is a god among men, and anyone who thinks otherwise is a complete and utter fool. And yet, we have a number of examples where lesser quarterbacks actually did beat their higher-rated counterpart. I've got five examples right here. Could Nick Foles somehow pull the upset? Maybe. It has happened before. Number five on our list. The Buffalo Bills had lost a heartbreaker to the New York Giants in Super Bowl 25 when Scott Norwood missed that game-winning field goal on the last play of the game. But Jim Kelly and his K-gun offense were back in Super Bowl 26, and this time they were going to get things right. I mean, they were on a mission, and they were facing a Washington team who was good, but hello, starting at quarterback Mark Rippon? A sixth round pick that was originally from Canada. The Bills went to Minnesota for this game. And the rumor is at least out there that they partied quite a bit because they thought this game will be pretty easy. And then right off the bat, running back Thurman Thomas can't find his helmet. And the day goes downhill from there. Washington jumps out to a 24-0 lead, and Buffalo never fully recovered. Washington would win easily 37-24. And while Jim Kelly would go on to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame, it was Mark Rippon that was named the MVP, throwing for nearly 300 yards and two touchdowns. Mark Rippon, not an all-time great, but he beat Jim Kelly in Super Bowl 26. Number four on our list. This was probably the best New England Patriots team ever. They went 18-0. And while we say that Tom Brady has won with less weapons, in 2007, he had all the weapons he could ask for. He had Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth, Ben Watson, Lawrence Maroney, Kevin Falk. I mean, the 10-6 New York Giants and Eli Manning, they made it to the Super Bowl, but this was going to be a blowout. The Patriots were favored by 12. But then the Giants hit Brady. And then they hit him again. And they hit him again. And they hit him again. And they held the vaunted New England offense to just 14 points on the day. And the Giants came up with a crazy third down conversion. And somehow, Peyton's little brother beat Tom Brady and the greatest team of all time. Come on. Eli Manning beating Brady? That can't happen. There's no way. Eli's not in that class. It happened. Moving forward to number three. You know, we forget about the dominance that the NFC had over the AFC, winning 13 Super Bowls in a row from 1983 to 1997. The Green Bay Packers had won Super Bowl 31, and they were going to make it back-to-back titles with a win over the Denver Broncos, a team known for losing the big one. The Packers had league MVP Brett Favre, and while the Broncos had John Elway, he wasn't the player he had been when he was younger. The Packers were 11-point favorites. This game wouldn't be close. The NFC would win again, Brett Favre would win again, and John Elway would limp off into the sunset with his fourth Super Bowl loss. But the Broncos weren't built around Elway. They ran the ball down the Packers' throat with Terrell Davis, and their undersized offensive line wore the Packers out. Elway threw for just 123 yards. But Elway and the Denver Broncos ground out a gritty win over a much more talented Brett Favre, who was in his prime at the time. That's number three on our list. Moving forward to number two, Super Bowl 32 was the ultimate vindication for Elway. He had lost three Super Bowls, but none of them were more painful than Super Bowl 22. The Broncos had gone to Super Bowl 21. After Elway had engineered the drive in the AFC Championship game in Cleveland, going 98 yards for the tying score, but the Broncos were outclassed by the New York Giants in Super Bowl 21. But they qualified for a return trip, and this time they would face a Washington team who was on their backup quarterback. Because Jay Schrader had started 11 games, but because of his injuries and inconsistencies, Joe Gibbs had gone to his backup, Doug Williams. Elway was clearly the better quarterback, and you noticed it right away. The Broncos defense forced a 3-and-out on the first series, and Elway threw a 56-yard touchdown to Ricky Natiel. Soon, it was 10-0, and Doug Williams twisted his leg while being sacked. This game was over. And then Washington scored 35 points in the second quarter alone. It was Doug Williams, not Elway, who threw for 340 yards and four touchdowns. And it was John Elway, not Williams, who threw three interceptions. John Elway is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But Doug Williams beat him in Super Bowl 22. So who could be number one on our list of lesser quarterbacks that beat better quarterbacks in the Super Bowl? Well, it just might be a guy that we're going to see on Sunday. Because see, back in 2001, it was not the Tom Brady that we think of now. In fact, he was kind of a dorky, skinny, knock-kneed kid that was nice enough, but let's be real clear. Super Bowl 36 would be about Kurt Warner and the greatest show on turf. It might seem crazy now, but Warner was the league MVP, not Brady. And Warner was the guy that meant the Patriots had no shot in this game. The St. Louis Rams were 14-point favorites. They were going to win their second title in 3 years. And then New England's defense changed the script. They intercepted Kurt Warner, and Ty Law took it back for a pick six. And it was the Patriots that led most of the game. When the Rams tied the game with just over a minute to play, announcer John Madden said the Patriots should just kneel on it because you don't want young Brady to do anything stupid.
And now with no timeouts, I think that the Patriots with this field position, you have to just run the clock out. You have to play for overtime now. I don't think you want to force anything here. You don't want to do anything stupid because you have no timeouts and you're backed up.
Then, of course, Tom Brady led a 53-yard drive. And Adam Vinatieri gave the underdog Tom Brady his first Super Bowl win over the much bigger name Kurt Warner at the time. Now, I realize that Nick Foles is no Tom Brady. He will never be thought of as Tom Brady. But whether a team fails to prepare, whether a team has a better defense, whether a team runs the ball more effectively, whatever the case may be, we have seen a number of times that a lesser quarterback beats a better one in the Super Bowl. Football has so many players, it really does take all 53 of them to win a game like this. Hey, Nick Foles doesn't have to be better than Tom Brady to get this win. He just needs the Philadelphia Eagles to play a better game than the New England Patriots for 60 minutes. It is Friday, and we have made it through another week. Next week, we will be recapping the Super Bowl, and I have to add this, I am chasing a guest that is unlike anything we have ever done here on The Daily Dose. You'll have to trust me on this one. It should be very, very good. Hey, I want to thank all of you for listening to The Daily Dose every day. I hope that you are enjoying it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sharing the show. It is all very, very appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday and enjoy Super Bowl 52.
Frankie's late night breakfast.
I've been going out with Sam for a while now. We met last year. We went out dancing, came home late. I don't know why we hit it off, but I'll tell you when I knew we had. The first time we shared a bowl of baked eggs. Tangy tomato sauce with spinach and chili. You wait till it's simmering, then bake in the eggs. Delicious. We tucked in at 3 a.m. and he said, "This is the best breakfast I've ever had."
Make your own late night breakfast with our sweet Italian vine ripened tomatoes. Food Love Stories, brought to you by Tesco.